Second Peter chapter 3. I'm going to read 9 verses. For our guests, we're preaching through 2 Peter. We've covered the first 2 chapters and the first 2 verses of chapter 3. I'm going to start with chapter 3, verse 1, and read through verse 9. The Bible says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Let's pray. Father, Lord, I rejoice in the words of that song, Lord. That's a blessing, Lord. I'm glad we don't serve a dead Savior, but our Savior lives and reigns and is interested and active in the lives of His people. Thank you, Father, for what we've already enjoyed, and I pray now that you would take this unworthy vessel and allow the Holy Ghost to do what I can't, and may your people get the help they need, and may you be glorified, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I sure hope you'll pay attention this morning. It's the first Sunday of this new year, and why not get started off right? Last week, we talked about being stirred, and that's in verse 1, and then being mindful in verse 2. And the word mindful there means to call to mind, to bring to your remembrance. And it actually means for you to think about something and call it to your memory until it stirs you to action. I was reminded, looking back over last week's notes, of that passage in the Psalms, Psalm 39:3, "While I was musing, the fire burned." And so that's sort of what Peter's talking about here. He's talking about you calling to remembrance certain things until it moves you to action. We talked about that last week. I made the comment, and it's simply true, that by our decisions and our actions, we choose what our mind is going to be full of. Those are choices we make. And your mind can be full of all kinds of things, but it'll be because of some decisions you've made. Have you ever said, moving into today's message, have you ever said, "I'm just not going to think about that"? You've said something like that, haven't you? I just refuse to think about that. Or maybe you went against some kind of counsel or authority or something that your parents said to you, because you want to go out and do something, let's say on a Friday night or a Saturday night, or you want to go somewhere for a week with some friend, and they say no, or they tell you what you can and cannot do, and you might say something like, "Well, I'm going to go and I'm just going to put that out of my mind." You've said things like that. "I'm not going to think about it. I'm going to put that out of my mind." Now, that's going to come to play in this message this morning. We're going to look at what Peter says about scoffers. In verse 3, he says, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers." Now, I've told you that Jude is the sister to this book. It's the parallel passage to this book. Jude and 2 Peter are much alike. And if you read Jude 18, he calls them mockers. It's interesting, by the way, that the word scoffer and mocker comes from the same word. So they're very much alike, if you will. I might call this a sermon from scoffers, or a message from mockers. We need to know what the Bible says about these two people, scoffers and mockers. But as I prepared the message and poured over this passage and studied a lot of information about what Peter says here, I'm also tempted to take this message a different direction and call it, "Where do you get your information? Where do you get your information?" I think you'll see as we move through this message why I might go that route. Now, verse 3 starts with knowing this first. That sounds like Peter wants you to make sure you get this down first, but it's not the first time he said that. Back up and look at chapter 2, verse 20. In chapter 2, verse 20, all of a sudden I've got the wrong passage. It must be chapter 1, verse 20. Knowing this first. See that? He says it there. So you got knowing this first in chapter 3, but he also says it in chapter 2. But if you look at chapter 2, verses 17, 18, 19, 20, and 21, he's talking about how we got the Word of God, and he said, when we're talking about how we get the Word of God, the thing I want you to know first is it didn't come from man, it came from the Holy Spirit. In the context of how did we get our Bible, he said, I want you to know this first. It wasn't a man's idea, it's God's idea. That we got the Word of God from the Holy Spirit. Then when you come to chapter 3, I believe that what he's saying here is knowing this first, that there shall come scoffers in the last days. When it comes to being mindful of the Word of God, here's something you need to know first. There are going to be scoffers that are going to make you unmindful. So keep the knowing this first in its context, and he simply wants you to know that when it comes to you being mindful, there's going to be some people who are going to cast doubt and raise questions in your mind about the Bible. All of you need to hear that. Young people, you need to understand that Peter is warning you that if you're going to be mindful, notice what you're supposed to be mindful of in verse 2, chapter 3, verse 2, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles, the Lord and Savior. And so Peter is saying, if you're going to be mindful, if your mind is going to be full of the Word of God, you better understand something. There's going to be some people try to trick you up and raise doubt about the Word of God and make you question the authority of the Word of God. You need to be aware of that. That's what Peter's saying here. That's what he's calling here the scoffers. They'll raise doubts and ask questions. The reason you desperately need to keep in mind what God says is because you're going to be living in a day where people are going to put a question mark where God put a period. And that's the day you're living in. You're living in a day where something that used to be rock solid, no doubt about it, even in Bible-believing Baptist churches, it used to be a sure thing. Boy, they're raising questions about everything nowadays. And Peter says, I want you to be mindful of the Word of God, and you need to understand if you're going to be mindful of the Word of God, somebody's going to put a question mark where God put a period. You realize there was a time in America when even unsaved people respected the Bible more than some saved people do today. Young people, listen to me. You're living in a volatile world. You're living in an uncertain time. And I'm telling you, when I was growing up, lost people would never correct this book. Now you got preachers correcting the book. That's the change that's taken place just in the last 50 years. It used to mean something in a court of law to put your right hand on that Bible and swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. And where did they put their hand? On the Bible. People would argue, even lost people, and say, that's in the Bible. Right? I know that's true because that's in the Bible. But now, You can witness to people, and we talked about this some in the apologetics class. You can witness to people now, but you've got to start a lot further back than you used to. Now you've got to explain to them. You'll say something about the Bible says, and they say, well, so? Well, that, who cares? That's the world you're living in. Quoting the Bible doesn't affect them. It doesn't phase it. They're not interested in what the Bible says. They doubt the Bible, cast doubt on the Bible, and saying that it's in the Bible doesn't end the argument any longer. And don't you know that over 100 translations since 1900 is part of the problem? Well, nowadays, when you say Bible, what does that mean? A preacher I used to listen to quite often had a sermon of his on cassette. And he starts the sermon out with this. Take your Bible. Any Bible will do. That's what's happened in our world. Any Bible will not do. The Bible is no longer revered like it once was. It is questioned, it is slandered, and it is now revised with no conscience as if man thinks he's his own final authority. And he has no problem correcting the Word of God. It is so bad that nowadays people want some kind of endorsement for their lifestyle. They want some kind of endorsement for living the way they want to live. And they will say, now get this because this is going to be what Peter's talking about. They will say, well, the Bible says or the Bible doesn't say, and they know when they say it, they're lying. I'm telling you, people pull the Bible out of thin air nowadays and quote it to justify some politicians do it all the time. With no regard for the Word of God. Casting doubt upon the truth of the Bible. We have professing Christians, so-called churches now, endorsing women pastors, homosexuality, lesbian pastors, rock music, and much, much more, and claiming scriptural authority for it. That's the world you live in. It's a messed up world. Listen, church, listen to me. Especially young people, I'm trying to help you. You better be mindful of God's Word because scoffers are on the rise. That's the message from Peter. You better get this book in you. You better get this book because it's going to be questioned like it never has before in the days to come. So I want us to highlight three things that Peter tells us about scoffers. It might help us to recognize scoffers. Number one, their selfishness. Number two, their sayings. And number three, their stupidity. I like that word. It's in the dictionary. In a 1956 Webster's Collegiate Dictionary, I found out what stupid means. I thought, I wonder if that's in the Webster's 1828. It is. Some of you don't like the word stupid, but it's a good word. There might be a reason you don't like it. Hey, Peter says, knowing this first, that tells me he's got something important to say. Knowing this first, that's sort of like the Bible when it says, take heed or beware. Peter's trying to get your attention and he wants to show you something about these scoffers. So we're going to look at these scoffers for just a little while. And the first thing we're going to talk about is their selfishness. Verse 3 says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. And then he describes them, walking after their own lusts. Now let me give you a parenthetical message here. There'll be about two or three of these today. In order to appreciate this passage, we need to define scoffer or mocker because we really have a different mindset about what these words mean. The word scoffer is only in the New Testament once. The word mocker is only in the New Testament once. And both of them come from the same word. So it'd be wise to get to understand these words. It means to deride, to treat with scorn, to make fun of, or to make light of or just push something aside. Now, here's why I say that. Verse 4 says, you see, you're tempted to read the word scoffer and think a scoffer is somebody that doesn't believe the Bible. I'm not for sure about that. It says here in verse 4, these scoffers say, look at what they say, and we'll get to this in just a moment. Where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, they evidently believe in the patriarchal fathers. And if that's not what they're talking about, look at the rest of it. All things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. They evidently believe in the creation. Right? I'm not for sure that a scoffer is someone that doesn't believe the Bible. I don't know that you could prove that. These guys
These scoffers believe in the fathers, the Jewish fathers probably, and they certainly believe in creation. So let me get back to my first point about these scoffers. Their selfishness, the Bible says, walking after their own lust. The reason they make light of the Bible or mock Bible believers is not because deep down they don't believe it. It's not because they have an intellectual problem with the Bible. They have a moral problem with it. They want to do what they want to do, and so they've got to discard the Bible in order to justify it. They know the Bible is the truth. But it's better to make light of it than have to change my ways. That's really what Peter's showing you here. Their selfishness. Walking after their own lust. This will be more evident as we go through the passage, but let me just show you this. Turn to the book of Jude. You'll be there if you'll turn right, and you'll be there real quick. We're talking about the scoffers. Peter wants us to see this. It's important. And I don't think it's ever been more important to young people than it is in 2021. Some of you are battling it in your own heart, even right now as I preach. I know some of you personally are battling this. You want to discard the authority that God's placed in your life. And the Bible says here in Jude, verse 18, See how this matches 2 Peter? Look at verse 17. But beloved, remember you the words which were spoken before of the apostles and of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 2. Verse 18, how that they told you there should be what? Mockers in the last time. Now let's see what he says about them. Jude adds a little bit. Who should walk after their own lusts. It's all about them. It's all about what they desire. The reason they're doing what they're doing is because they're self-centered and they want to live the way they want to live. So he says here, they walk after their own lust. Verse 19, these be they who separate themselves. Now that takes a little work to figure out what he's talking about there. And I'll just remind you of something rather than ask you to turn to it. You remember when Paul called the elders of the church at Ephesus together and warned them about some things that were going to be coming? He described the wolves that would try to enter in. Listen to what he says. He says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things. Listen, to draw away disciples after them. You know what these scoffers want to do? They want to separate from Bible-believing Christianity. They want to separate from that crowd that has standards and convictions. And they want to develop their own church. They want to have their own thing. They want to do things their own way. He says here in Jude that they walk after their own lust. These be they who separate themselves. And notice what else it says. It says they're sensual. Sensual. That ought to tell you a lot about them. What does that mean? Now this is a crowd that are they're scoffers. They're going to make light of the second coming. Well, down at that church, they say Jesus is going to come and he's going to meet the people in the air and graves are going to be emptied. And man, a lot of them people are crazy. They're going to make light of the second coming. They're going to make light of standards. I'll talk a little bit about this tonight. It's okay for a lady to still dress like a lady. You don't have to dress like this world. Amen. And they don't, they're going to make light of all that done at that church. Well, that preacher will preach sometimes for 60 minutes. He won't go to a church where we can have some coffee and some donuts and a bunch of singing and praise and worship and raise our hands and have a dance team and an orchestra and maybe a concert at night and a 15-minute little sermonette. They preach too much down there. Man, they have church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And so this crowd's going to make light of all kinds of things. Second coming and standards and long sermons and they're going to start their own feel-good church. Why? Because they're sensual. What does that mean? They're given over to their sensual nature, their natural senses. Beastly appetites is what sensual is defined as. And I thought of what Peter calls them, brute beasts. And Jude calls them brute beasts. Living like animals. Self-gratification. Does this make sense to y'all? Are y'all following this? I mean, it's pretty obvious what Peter's saying about these scoffers. They're selfish. They're separate in the sense that they pull away from the church. Mark it down, young people. Mark it down. You're going to want to go to a church one of these days where you don't have this pressure. You don't have to live up to anything. You can talk on your phone during church and nobody will say a word about it. Brother Ron won't be there to come walking down your aisle. You can text while I'm preaching. Yeah. And you're going to be tempted to pull away from a church where there's some standards and convictions and preaching so you can go appeal to your sensual nature. That's going to happen to you. And you have to decide what you're going to do. You better be mindful of the Word of God. That's the only thing that's going to save you from these scoffers. So first of all, their selfishness. Secondly, their sayings. Verse 4. Go back to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. What's the first two words? And saying. Peter tells you in verse 3 that they walk after their own lust. And then he tells you what they say in verse 4. They say, where is the promise of His coming? That's sort of like the devil casting doubt on God's Word. That's what he wants to do. Okay, God said that, but it hadn't happened yet. Where is the promise of His coming? And then they add this. Get this. For since the fathers fell asleep... Look at this. Now think about this. All things continue as they were. Peter says, here's what they'll say. The question is what they say true? And the answer is, absolutely not. Things are always changing. It's not true that everything's just like it was since the fathers fell asleep. Please hear this, young people especially, but all of us need to get a hold of this because, listen, this message is for every one of us. Do not sit there this morning thinking, I know who needs to hear that. I'm going to tell you who needs to hear it. You do. Every single one of us need to hear this. Here's a crowd that wants to justify what they want to do. So what they do is they say things, but deep down they know it's not really true. Can I give you an illustration? Everybody just hates me. You know that's not true. But you say it in order to justify. There's more people loves you than ought to. They're just trying to control me. It's not true. You just don't want us to have any fun. No, I don't want to have to come and see you in jail. But you'll say that, and deep down you'll know that's not true. Brother Ron's just trying to keep us from having fun. You know that's a lie. But you'll say it. Because you want to put your bikini on and go swimming somewhere. You want to go to a theme park and have a good time around a bunch of filthiness and drunkenness and vulgarity. You want to justify it. So you'll say, well, Brother Ron just doesn't want us to have any fun. And you know good and well it's not true. I just don't believe there's anything wrong with this music. Liar. You know there is. You know it. We having fun yet? Well, I just believe God made me this way. No, you went to a doctor and paid thousands of dollars for him to change you. God didn't make you that way. You now they are literally now saying, wait till my child's 5 and let him choose whether he's a male or a female. You're living in a messed up world. And don't blame God for it. Well, I thought God was a God of love. Well, can I just say it without getting in trouble? It ain't true. He's not just a God of love. He's a God of hate. He's a God of anger. He's a God of wrath. He's a God of jealousy. God, you want to say that because somebody has preached against your sin and you just want to believe that it's okay, that God will just wink and forgive you and everything will be okay. No, there are consequences to your sin. What I'm telling you is one of the marks of a scoffer is that he says things that he knows is not true. There's a lot more of those I could give you. People say things and they know what they're saying.
is not true. Now that said, let me say this for our benefit. When he says that they say in verse 4 that all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation, listen, that's a fatalistic perspective. That is a futile perspective, and it is a foolish perspective. I preached two Wednesdays ago on changes are coming. Please hear me. 2021 is unpredictable. No, things will not continue as they always have. And you didn't enter 2020 thinking you'd be wearing a mask to go to Walmart. And you didn't enter 2020 thinking that, and you fill in the blank. All things do not continue as they were. Things do change. How quickly they can change. I visited my sister yesterday. Ran off with this man that she's been married to for 56 years. They've been married for 56 years. She ran off when she was 15 and married him. And on Christmas Eve, he goes out to the farm that he loves so and dies of a heart attack. That's not what she had in store. They were going to have a family Christmas, either that day or the next. All of her plans were changed instantaneously. Her life was turned upside down in a moment. And it can happen this year to you or me. Change is inevitable. It's a part of life. James says it best, ye know not what shall be on the morrow. You don't know what's coming. We might enter World War III in 2021. We might have a civil war for all I know. If this election goes a certain way, we may get shut down like we've never been shut down. I have no idea. I'm not making any predictions because I can't even tell you what I'm going to do tonight. Amen. Yeah, listen, Brother Dale's back there in the foyer. He didn't think he'd spend 42 days in the hospital in 2020. Maybe 2021 will be one of us. We better not be strutting around like a peacock. We don't know what's coming. All flesh is grass. He knows our frame. We're frail creatures of dust. We have no promise of tomorrow. It might be you that loses a loved one of 56 years this year. It might be that tracking becomes illegal in America. I never dreamed in 2020 we'd face what we faced. All things do not continue as they were. I'll tell you what you better get a hold of. You better get a hold of the book. We better be mindful of the Word of God. Scoffers are on the rise. That's what Peter's preaching here. You better get the book in you. You better be mindful of the Word of God because scoffers are on the rise and we're looking at their selfishness and their sayings. Now do you remember? Okay, y'all ready for this? This is Cornerstone Baptist Church, right? Y'all want the truth, right? Remember I said at the beginning of the message that I might call this message, where do you get your information? Peter is telling them, be mindful of God's words because scoffers are coming in verse 3. But look at verse 17 in this chapter. What he does in verses 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, he talks about the second coming. He talks about Jesus coming back. He talks about God destroying the heavens and the earth. And in verse 17, he says, ye therefore, beloved. Now watch what he says. Seeing you know these things. You know the Lord's coming. You know He's going to destroy the heavens and the earth. Seeing you know these things before. What's the next word? Beware, lest ye also, those of you that know all this, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. You got the truth, but there's going to be some scoffers that don't believe this book like you do. And if you pay attention to them, you're going to fall from your own steadfastness. So who are you going to listen to? The scoffers or Bible believers? Beware, he says, lest you be led away. Who are the wicked? The error of the wicked. False teachers, scoffers, mockers. They might be religious mockers. They might be political mockers. The Bible doesn't say here that these are preachers necessarily, these scoffers. They might just be social reformers. But they don't take the book serious. They don't believe the Bible like you and I do.
So, listen, this is very important. You better get a hold of this. It's almost like Peter is saying, are you going to listen to mockers and scoffers who don't believe the book? Or are you going to listen to men who do believe the book? Shall I make it more plain? You ever heard somebody say, well, now, according to my sources? Well, who are your sources? Where did you get your information? You know what 2 Peter, everybody will tell you, the theme to 2 Peter is growing in the Lord and being steadfast. Well, I'm telling you this morning, how you grow and how steadfast you are may be determined by who you spend most of your time listening to. And it just might be that some of you are listening more to scoffers and mockers than you are Bible-believing preachers. You just might be getting all of your information from people that would probably laugh at some of the things I preach from this pulpit. I don't know how many people have given me the websites of conservative news sources over the years that I finally just had to delete and delete and delete because they're so caught up in conspiracy theories, and they would laugh if they heard me preach about Israel. And they would laugh if they heard me preach on some of the Bible preachings that go on in this church on a regular basis, and they would laugh and mock us. So I'm not going to listen to them. They might lead me astray. Are you listening to me this morning? How you grow in the Lord and how steadfast you are may be determined by who you listen to. Scoffers who are self-centered, out for self, make light of the Bible. What is your favorite news source? Bible-believing Christians? Is that your favorite news source? Your college professor? Is that where you get your information? Higher education? Bill Gates? Well, I'd love to know what he says. Boy, you put him and LeBron in the same room, that's a wealth of information right there. And why would you reject what I say if you've got their information? Why would you listen to me if you've got them, in other words? I meant to say it that way. I mean, Tony Fauci? Fox? Hannity? Tucker? PTL? Siri? Google? Let's just Google it. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to find out the real truth. I'm just going to Google it. The scientist? The conspiracist? After all the stuff you've listened to in the last year, have you grown in the Lord? Are you more steadfast than you were a year ago? Are you more burdened for souls? Have you memorized more Scripture? Do you have more family devotions now? Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Ooh, he's thinking about me. Not likely. Those scoffers have got you thinking you're more important than you are. I'm thinking about Americans. That's who I'm thinking about. And some of that is you. Some of you are guilty. And you talk about it in the foyer. You hadn't wept over a soul in a year. But you got all the answers to what's going to happen next. And your sources are scoffers and mockers and Bible rejectors. I'm trying to help you. You're listening to people that would probably make fun of my faith. Now let me throw this in there real quick. We shouldn't be paying a lot of attention to scoffers, but neither should we be surprised at how much attention they're getting. Because that's sort of what Peter's saying here. You better get mindful of the book, because scoffers are going to make a lot of noise. And the whole world's going to be listening. By the way, just so we can get this out there, some of you are more interested in Trump than you are Jesus.
Amen, preacher. Right?
If he knocks you out of church, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Thought you might want to hear that. You know why you're so interested in that stuff? Because you're interested in this kingdom instead of the one to come, which is in the end of this chapter. Americans are more interested in saving America than they are saving souls. I'm just being honest with you. Not trying to hurt you. I'm telling you, this is the world we live in. A world that's caught up listening to scoffers and listening to all of this stuff. And how much of it in 2020 didn't happen like they said it would? Peter says, pay attention to what they say. They're liars! And they're scoffers. Their selfishness, their sayings, and in case you're not mad yet, let's talk about their stupidity. Let's talk about their stupidity. It's okay to use that word. It's a good word used properly. Now, we tend to use it wrong in America. I've used it wrong before. Don't want to, but I have. But the Bible says here, in verse 5, for this they willingly are ignorant. Now, if you look up the word stupid, it says lacking in understanding, mental dullness. I couldn't believe this next word that was in a dictionary, 1956, I believe it was. Lacking in understanding, talking about stupid, lacking in understanding, mental dullness, dumb. I just wasn't expecting that. Usually dumb is not talking about your intellectual level. But it is in that dictionary. And verse 5 says, they willingly are ignorant. Now this is a sermon all in itself. This one subject should be an entire sermon. What he's saying about these scoffers are, they're just dumb on purpose. They're set on stupid. They are intentionally ignorant. Now listen, not all of us can be rocket scientists. Not all of us can have an IQ of 150. Not all of us can be college professors. Not all of us can have a high intellect, but you don't have to be dumb on purpose. Everybody okay? That's really what is being said here. The idea, by the way, of being willfully ignorant or willingly ignorant is to push aside information, to ignore the facts, to bury your head in the sand, to turn a deaf ear. You understand the principle? It's sort of like that crowd in Romans 1. You remember Romans 1? You know what it said about them? They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Remember I said earlier, it's a beautiful thing that Peter does here. He uses the word mindful, and the contrast is you can be mindful of or you can be willfully ignorant. You can choose to recall information and soak it up and be like a sponge. By the way, that word retain, they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, means to absorb. It's like a sponge that absorbs it. Or it's like a retainer that holds something in place. Or like a retainer agreement where you hire a lawyer and you pay a fee to hold his services. But some people get knowledge and information and they don't want to hold on to it. Because they have sensual desires and that truth hinders them from doing what they want to do. Y'all getting this? Peter does a marvelous job of contrasting this material or using this material to contrast great truths. Willingly ignorant. You know what that really does boil down to? It's so obvious. Ignorant, ignore. Willingly ignorant is to ignore what you know. That's really what it means. Cast it aside, push it aside, instead of being mindful of it. Why would you willingly ignore something? So you can do what you want to do. So you can go ahead and live the life you want to live. It doesn't matter what mom and dad says. What do they know? Let's be honest. Now, some of you that think I'm aiming this at you, I'm telling you, all of us need to hear this. All of us have a tendency to lie
or twist the truth in order to justify what we're doing. Ah, they don't know what they're talking about. You know they do. I don't care what they say. Yeah, you do. Yes, you do. Preachers will do it. Preachers will say things like, I don't care if this makes everybody in the church mad. And then we'll say what we want to say. The truth of the matter is, we don't want to make everybody in the church mad. We really don't. We're just willing to if we have to. But that's not what we want. Peter's trying to tell us about these scoffers. You know, I really don't believe many people believe in global warming. I don't believe it's that they have a head. I believe they have a heart problem. I mean, especially if you're a Bible believer, because God tells you the seasons are going to last until He burns this place up. You're going to have seasons until the Lord destroys this earth. It's going to happen. You're going to have cold and you're going to have hot. Guess what? It is not going to keep getting hotter and never be cold again. Until the Lord comes and it's going to get real hot and you won't even have to worry about it. Amen. He's going to burn this earth up with a fervent heat. But you're not going to do it with your deodorant. Not unless you start using a whole lot more. Some of you could do that. See, you can say you believe in global warming. You can say you believe in evolution. You can say you believe in globalism. You can say that you don't believe it's really murder to see that doctor go inside of a woman and rip a baby to shreds. You're a liar. The proof is there. The videos are there. The science is there. You know it's wrong. You're a liar. But you want to have a good time on a Friday night. But they'll say, I don't believe there's anything wrong with it. They know it's wrong. They know it's wrong. You can say that you believe it's okay for you to claim be a man one day and be a woman the next. You know better. You know better. You're kidding yourself. Those are mockers and scoffers. In the sense that they will say something that they know is not true, it's the same reason some women justify modesty. It's the same way. It's the way some young people justify their music. Well, it just makes me feel good. Well, they can do a lot of things to you to make you feel good. That don't make it right. It's the same argument for the movies you watch. It's the same argument people use for the way they eat. We'll justify it by lying to ourselves. And we'll make light of it. Well, I could do a lot worse. Yeah, and you could do a lot better too. I'm not trying to be harsh this morning. The more I studied this passage, the more I saw us using the same arguments of the scoffers. Now, real quick, let me wrap this up this morning. What are they willingly ignorant of? Look at verse 5. I'm almost through. Would you hang in there with me just a few more minutes? It says in verse 5, "For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water." Now look at this, "whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished." Now look at this, "but the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store." You know what Peter's saying? He's saying one of the things that they choose to reject is the idea that God said, "Let there be," and there it was. That He made this earth just by speaking the Word, and He's holding it together, Colossians 1, just by His Word. You see, that's why people say they believe in evolution. They know better, but that beats having a God to answer to. Do you realize the God you and I serve, what Peter alludes to here, is God back there somewhere said, "Let there be," and there it was. That's a powerful God. Do you believe that? You better ask yourself that, young people. You know what He said on one occasion? He said, "Let the earth bring forth creatures. Just let the earth bring forth a cow." You ever thought about that? Read the book, read Genesis sometimes and think about how all the animals got here. God said, "Let there be," and there they were.
And then said, Adam, give him a name. If you ever think through Genesis sometime, it might make you become a scoffer. I still believe it just like it says it. I believe God said, let there be lights. And there was the sun, and there was the moon, and there was the stars. Just poof, there they were. Why? Because God said so. Y'all believe that? It might be tested if you keep listening to these scoffers. So basically, Peter is saying that the thing they're going to be willfully ignorant of in this passage is that the world was spoken into existence by God. And then in verse 6 and 7, they're ignorant of the fact that God, willfully ignorant, choosing to be ignorant, that God is going to judge this world. He does it with a flood, and He's going to do it with a fire. And you know what people say? Well, you just believe God's up there holding a firebrand over your head and threatening you with hell. And so they want to reject the idea that God's a God of judgment. Even though Abraham said in Genesis 18, will not the judge of all the earth do right? God is going to judge man. Saved or lost, you're going to face His judgment. But a world that wants to do what it wants to pretend like, well, God's going to wink at my sin. And I'm better than that guy, and so I'm doing pretty good. And then, I need to close with this. This ought to be some encouragement to close with. When they say, that's what Peter says in verse 4, they say, where's the promise of His coming? Peter's response to that in verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Why hasn't He come like He promised? Number one, well, it's only been a few days. Right? Let's get a different perspective on this thing. You think it's been 2,000 years. No, it's only been 2 days. That's Peter's response to what they're saying. He said He was coming. When's He coming? Not only, number one, it's only been a few days, but number two, verse 9, He's given as many chances as possible for people to get saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But count on it, verse 10, He is coming. He is coming as a thief in the night. Listen to me, saints. Right there, you have a book of power, of light, of truth. So who are you going to be listening to next week? If you don't put this book in you, you're going to be easy prey for the scoffers and the mockers and the false teachers. If you'll put this book in you, you might be laughing at them. That's what Elijah did. He mocked them. Amen. You better be careful where you get your information.